Thank you, Stevie B. Oh, we're midweek. It's a Wednesday, and nothing says Wednesday like a good Brian Noonan.
That is correct. I'm your hump day fun.
I like that. Is that what it says on your business card or your bumper sticker?
That's exactly what it says on my business card. Of course, it's written in crayon, so people don't take it as seriously as I would hope. But,
thank you for sitting in for Bill. Bill's taking a couple of days off. He has a business meeting, if you can believe that.
Didn't he just come back from vacation?
Yeah, that's how he rolls. He did this, I think it was the beginning of 2017, he came back for one day and was off for a week.
That one day back is hard, Wendy. You know, when you're trying to come back in from vacation and you got that mentality, then you go, oh, I have to go to work again? Three hours busting rocks on the radio? That's tough.
Listen, this is the best job in the entire world.
I know.
But I'll tell you, I took the week of the 4th off, I took Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and it's hard to get back to work because all of a sudden you realize, wow, I have a lot of time in the day to do stuff.
Exactly. It's as nice as this job is.
It's work.
It's work. You still have to show up at a certain time. You have to prepare, just like anybody else's job. So, when you're coming back, it is that rude awakening to go, oh, now I have to set the alarm again, and I have to, I have to put on pants. It's a whole big, traumatic thing. You know, that's why I come in on the weekend, no pants. It's like I'm always on vacation on Sundays. But here now with you and with Jazby. No, I started to say Jazzy, and then I double clutched to say Jasmine because I wanted to be more formal. And yet
Jazby.
It was, and I can't even say, oh, there, I... We're,
I love it. I know we're in a
this
new
is,
studio.
Yeah, I'm all thrown
discombobulated.
Off. Yeah, this is not right. I don't.
It's lovely. It's wonderful. It doesn't matter to the listeners, but we're trying to get acclimated.
Yeah, because I've this is my first time in this room.
Exciting! I'm your first.
You're busting my radio studio A cherry, and I'm going to knee the computers. It's going to be a nightmare, but it'll all be fine.
but it is nice to take vacation. I'm going to be off all next week.
Didn't you just have a... You just said you were on vacation.
Yeah, that was just not doing anything. We're actually going to Disneyland. I have never been to Disneyland.
You know why I like Disneyland? Because it's... You can do it all in a day if you want. You know, now they have California Adventure. That's different. But Disneyland is manageable. You know, when
that's
we lived out
need.
There, you go... Yeah, you can go. You can spend the day. And then you can say, oh, I'm done. Or maybe, if you want to go back the next day, cool. But it's not like Disney World where you're there for a week and a half.
And I don't... I get over Disneyed.
Do you?
I am not a huge Disney lover. It might have something to do with the very first time I went to Disney World was the summer my dad died, and my aunt took me with my cousin and sister. We went there trying to help us escape from reality.
Right. But now you associate it with that time of your life, too, kind of.
I don't know if that's 100% it. What upset me more is when we were driving home through the Smoky Mountains, I had this beautiful magenta ears, that said Wendy on.
Yeah.
And we stopped at a roadside resort before driving through the mountains, and I insisted on having chicken a la king, which my aunt said, I don't think that's a good idea.
Wait a minute.
I know. I'm a kid. I either got fried chicken or
chicken
something with gravy.
Okay.
And so going through the mountains was a little windy.
Oh, yes.
And I was telling my cousin Susie to pull over in her kick-ass orange Javelin with a black racing stripe. And I'm like, you should probably pull over. And we were on a mountain road and couldn't. So I had to use my Mickey Mouse ears.
No,
yes.
You befouled your Mickey Mouse ears.
And we left them on the side of the road.
Well, yeah. What else are you going to do?
I know. Yeah. You couldn't wash that.
No. Those felt beanies don't you can't clean chicken a la king out of there.
I even had a little chicken a la king on Nunzio, my stuffed panda that I brought with. But he was washable.
This story gets sadder and sadder by the minute.
But do you see, maybe that's why I don't love Disney World?
Maybe you cancel that trip. Maybe you go somewhere else.
Well, and then we've been going almost every year because my husband, being the podcaster and Star Wars fan that he is with Rebel Force Radio, they always had Star Wars weekends.
Okay.
So he worked it out where it just so happened we were there every summer.
How handy.
It was pretty handy. So I have a 15-year-old and a 19-year-old, and Dylan, the younger one, loves Disney.
Okay.
Total Disney file, and I didn't want to go back to Disney World, so I said, listen, if you're a Disney fan, you should go where it all began.
The original. That's the place.
And I said, I don't really have the magic of Disney, so maybe if I go where it all began, I will find that magic.
Yes. There is something. In my regular life, I am very curmudgeonly, but there's something about... Yeah. Not here, but at home.
Really?
When I just sit in the dark and growl at everybody. Yeah. But when I go to Disney, I do... I get enveloped by the Disney spirit. I believe it is one of the happiest places on earth.
I don't think so.
Until I'm in line paying $28 for a pop, then I'm like, not really, you know.
But you have to, you know, save up for that trip to Disney all the time, because it's unbelievable how expensive it is.
And when we lived in Los Angeles, we would, anytime somebody came to visit, we would take them to Disneyland. That was the thing. And they used to have, I don't know if they still do, we used to take our dogs with us because they had a kennel at Disneyland outside the main entrance. So you would go, and it was like doggy daycare. So we would take the, dogs with us.
Was Mickey in charge? Come on, kids.
I don't know. Yeah, come on. No, Pluto was in charge, of course.
God.
Pluto and Goofy. Pluto and Goofy ran the doggy daycare. One time we're walking up. This is the and I'm pulling my dog, Max. And I didn't realize why I was pulling it. He took a dump right in front of the main entrance at Disneyland. That is not the happiest thing on earth. But it was great because you could drop your dogs. And then in the middle of the day, I'd go, I'm going to check on the dogs. And I'd go out go outside, let the dogs out of the cage for a bit. They'd run around the area.
That wasn't fun for them being in a cage.
No, well, they were at a kennel for the day, but it was better than, you know, coming home to seeing them ransack the house.
True.
So this way they got to go to Disneyland too. It was a family outing, Wendy.
All right, well, that is pretty good. I will tell you a second sob story for Disney World. When we first took the kids, we went with my sister and cousin, and when we arrived at Disney, we were walking around Magic Kingdom, and Dylan kept like scratching his head, and it's like, God, I can't stand it. So we went to the nurse, and he had lice.
Oh,
and
from Disney?
I don't know what happened. It was going around his school, and I said, I am so ashamed and embarrassed. And the lady in the Mickey Mouse medical building said, oh my God, we see this all the time.
Oh, I can imagine at Disney, there's
and so they had they worked out a deal with a nearby pharmacy close to the hotel that delivered RID. But so we call that vacation Disney on Lice.
Disney on Lice, that's
so,
a nice one.
Seriously, they're, you know, I guess bad moments of vacations are what you remember more than the great stuff, unfortunately, because it's out of the norm.
You do remember the bad stuff. I try to remember the good stuff. I haven't been to Disney World for an extended time since before, like Pirates of the Caribbean and Space Mountain. I was there for a few hours a couple years ago when my brother got married down there. But
he got married at Disney?
No, he got married in Orlando, and we went to Disney, but you know, we got there late in the day. We weren't the hardcore Disney people. You know, we weren't there before the gates open. So we got there about noon. We left about 5. So we were really dead. It was like, all right, whatever. We'll run around for a little bit.
Well, coming up later, we've got a Walt Disney World expert. So we'll find out a little bit more. And very quickly, Nancy has called us at 312-981-7200. Hey, Nance, what's going on?
I hate Disney.
Wow.
Hate is a strong word.
That's harsh.
No, you know what? I think you and I are a lonely society. My feeling is this, and I know I'm going to irritate people, and you'll probably get a deluge of calls, but to me, Disney World largely, and I use that word literally, is a gathering of fat people. I mean,
wow.
That is where you see what the United States public has turned into.
Why the body shaming? Yeah,
that's not really at all. I got to be honest with you.
I've seen a lot of very svelte people at Disney.
I've seen models.
Really?
I've seen hefty people there too. But you know what? I've seen hefty
princesses.
People on Michigan Avenue. Well, the princesses are gorgeous.
They're very thin.
Yeah, Mickey's got a nice
exactly.
form to him. You know?
I don't think that's a representation of America, because it really is not on everybody's plate because it's so expensive.
Yeah.
You have to save up for it. There are people that have never been there.
Yeah, who
can't afford it. I understand. I have a picture from Disney of one of the guards, one of the, you know, police guards. She couldn't run if her life depended on it.
Well, she's a guard at Disney. What does she have to run?
Nancy, are you like a dietitian or a personal trainer?
A Pilates instructor.
Yeah, you seem to have some anti-fat bias.
No. You know what, Wendy? When you go there, just keep this little note under your hat and look.
Wow.
Just watch.
No, I'm going to be the one people are looking at. I don't fat shame.
No.
You can't fat shame.
You know what?
Nancy, I'm never going to have lunch with you. That would be awful. What are you eating? Why are you eating that? You put on a pound or two?
How many did you have?
Yeah. What are you holding water? No, I'm just this. Wow. That's,
well,
man, oh, man.
I won't see you at Disney, I guess.
No.
No, you won't. I've been to both.
All right, is Disneyland any different? Because, you know, that's the California area.
No, Disneyland is probably a little bit better. It is. And
wow.
And what Pete said, that you can You can do it in a day. It's very doable.
All right. You know who's mad at you right now?
Everybody who's eating a sandwich.
Dumbo. Dumbo is very mad at you.
Oh, yeah, please. Chip and Dale, they've let themselves go, too. This is not nice.
Wendy, I'm telling you, just watch. I'm telling you, we've been there
Nancy,
many, many
now,
times.
Do you document people's girth wherever you go? Are you at like Walmart or Walgreens? Are you one of these people who take pictures in the gym and then shame people on Facebook and other social media sites because, God forbid, they're
not
in?
Not at all. No, I'm actually a really nice person.
It doesn't sound like it
that
much.
I was going to say, you sound more judgmental than nice, but that's just me. Phone calls can be deceiving. I don't know.
All right, well, everyone's inside.
Nancy, can you house for dinner.
Why don't you say,
no.
Sure, you get two alfalfa sprouts and some water. I'm not, I understand. Are you a svelte woman yourself, Nancy? Are you tiny? Are you petite?
No, I'm, well,
98 pounds? What are you?
I'm just average. I'm average.
Well, the average American,
average is up
the
there.
Average American is getting pretty beefy, Nancy, so I don't know if you want to lump yourself in with that group.
Don't say lump.
No, I'm not beefy.
All right, we got to run, but Nance, I will certainly think of you when I'm enjoying myself in Disney.
Do.
You're not helping,
please
though.
No.
I'm trying to find the magic, not destroy it.
The magic has all been eaten, Wendy, obviously, by everybody at Disney, so don't look too hard. It'll just be fruitless.
Brian,
and a lot of fruitless. Those are the diets that those people are enjoying, too.
Right.
Sorry.
Thank you, Nancy. Brian Noonan, in for Bill Leff. It's 720 WGN. It's Wendy Snyder here along with Brian Noonan. Bill Leff will be back in action on Friday.
For how long?
I'm out next week, so I think.
You think
Bill,
he's staying all next week?
I think so.
Okay.
With Frank Fontana tomorrow, and then Bill's back. The last time you worked with me, Steve Bertrand and you and I were talking about my amazing superhero, superwoman, neighborhood watch type
yes,
thing that,
that
I do.
That was when you were in hot pursuit of somebody who was driving erratically.
Yes.
Yes.
And I had also called the police on a suspicious package
at the
LaGrange
pet parade.
Yeah. I am annoying myself at this point, but I had to call the police again yesterday.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding.
How do we not have some sort of produced open with a siren and law enforcement sounds, because this has become your trademark thing.
It's become embarrassing. I realized this yesterday. I had to take Kona to the vet. We're going out of town. I wanted to make sure he was up to date on his shots. He's a puppy. Okay. He needed a second canine flu shot. I just wanted everything good to go. So Kona and I are driving home, and I see this dog just unattended in the front yard of a house.
All right.
And so I stopped.
Was it just sitting there?
It was standing. I know, you guys.
Just minding
his own
business?
I'm annoying myself.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
It was just standing there, and I got to be honest with you.
Is it looking shifty?
That looks just suspicious, doesn't it? Yeah.
A dog just standing around? What's that dog up to?
In its own front yard?
Yeah, thinking.
First of all, no human was in view.
Okay.
The dog was not on a leash. It didn't appear to have a collar. And for people like me who adhere to the dog laws and walk their new puppy on a leash, I don't want to turn a corner and have this loose dog. I don't know if it's mean. I don't know. It looked disoriented. I got to be honest with you.
You were trying.
Go ahead and laugh at me.
We are.
I'm just laughing at the description of a dog being disoriented. Was it like chasing, spinning around in a circle? Was
no.
Falling over?
And
was
you
it
were
drooling?
Driving by and you discerned this disorientation in how long?
That was fast.
I just saw, because I'm with my dog.
Sure.
So I'm like, oh, look at the dog. And then
does
I'm
your
like,
dog
wait,
look oriented?
Is that how you compared?
Well, sure.
You guys, it was just standing in a front yard, and it was kind of standing there, like, looking around.
My dog,
suspicious.
My dog does that every
day. In the front yard of your house?
Every day of its life.
Well, you should have your dog on a leash.
She hasn't gone anywhere yet.
Some dogs I was walking my dogs last night, and across the street, there was a man out doing his lawn, and his dog was just sitting in the front yard. Saw my dogs, didn't do anything, just chilled.
We had an electric fence for you. Maybe there was a fence involved.
Could be.
No, because he was on the sidewalk. He was on the sidewalk closer to the parkway. It just looked unusual to me, guys.
All right.
And it was hot, and if somebody lost a pet, I know if Kona got out, I'd be sad.
So you have police on speed dial.
So I called the police. I do.
Sure.
The non-emergency number.
Hello, Wendy.
No, yes. No, but Steve, this is what happened.
Oh, it's Snyder again.
I called and
up.
I said, I might see a loose dog. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, I'm not quite sure. It's in front of this house. And I gave the address. And I said, it kind of started walking towards the backyard, but it was looking around like it was disoriented. And I said, here's the key. I didn't see a person. So, I mean, if somebody could just check it out and... he goes, okay, what's your name? And I actually sighed.
You know my name.
I sighed. I went, Wendy. They said, Wendy what? Snyder. I said, I know. You probably have a file on me now.
Yes, one more tally mark next to your picture.
Oh, but again.
I said, you know, I
next
don't.
Next call is free.
But even I was ashamed to give my name.
Yes.
But I just thought they should check it out.
Well, it might have been a lost dog, right?
That's what it looked like to me, guys.
Right.
But so, of course, that I'm nosy Nelly.
You went back.
Oh, sure.
I did, but I walked. I took Kono with the leash, and we walked over there. And it was a milestone moment because he finally lifted his leg. Puppies don't always lift their legs, so it was very exciting.
Yes, something good comes out of this tragedy.
And as I got closer, I started freaking myself out, going, what if they didn't come? What if it's a mean dog? And then I hear this dog barking down the block, and I'm like, they're probably in a dog fight. So I went home. So I don't know what happened, but
this has become pathological, I think.
I know.
Yeah, I'm not a psychologist or something. Maybe you should just stay home.
It's the one thing to notice something and point it out, but then when you have to follow up and be part of the, you know,
but am I
and then to circle
anyone?
Back.
I'm trying to help. I mean, I'm not hurting anyone.
I gotta know, how slow or fast were you driving down this street?
I had come to a stop sign, and that's when I looked over and I go, Kona, look at the puppy.
Can I ask, have you ever been getting a ticket for not stopping fully at a stop sign?
Not recently.
Well, where else are you going to observe what's going on, Steve, if
now.
You don't stop?
Yeah, exactly.
If I Hollywood stop, I'm not catching all the things that are creeping around my neighborhood.
I just know from past Wendy incarnations how it is that she stops at stop signs, and it's not a very long look.
Yeah, not now. She's got to stop.
Yeah, now
she's
I stop
take
it, and
take
I,
things in.
I look left, right, forward, back, up, down,
she
and
makes,
then I proceed.
Takes notes. She 360. She's got her GoPro cam on. She scans the horizon.
She barks. She meows.
Oh, my God. I've just given me the best idea. I'm getting a GoPro, so now I can document everything.
Right. And I would put one in each corner of your car.
So you will stop laughing at me, both of you.
No, that's never going to happen.
Just go with a live. Yeah, go with a live feed. Like, you know, Wendy's
Facebook
Neighborhood
live.
Watch 24/7. Every time you leave the house, there has to be a live feed.
Wendy Squad.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun.
I'm just trying to help. If you see something, do something.
If you see something, or even if you think you see something, even if you hope to see something, then just say something. Or just say something, even if, you know, you haven't really seen anything, but you haven't talked to anybody in a while, then just call.
There's a giant spider hanging over your head right now.
Yeah, it doesn't scare me.
Darn it. Trying to watch. He's Brian Noonan. He's in for Bill Leff. I'm Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. Thank you, Steve. Wendy Snyder here along with Brian Noonan, who's sitting in for Bill Leff today.
Yes, always happy to be back.
I like working with you.
I like working with you as well. Not that, you know, I know Bill's vacation, but his work ethic seems to be slipping, quite frankly. So if there's any more days that he needs vacation, you know, let me know.
All right. I will keep you posted.
He's the only guy I know, and he's done this before, we mentioned it at the time. He goes on vacation, comes back for like a day or two, then goes on another vacation. He doesn't adapt well to that one day back.
It is hard to get back to work. We've established that.
Why don't we extend the vacation?
Well, see, that's why in the old days, I never took vacation time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you took vacation, someone filled in for you and you were scared to lose your job.
Yeah, listen.
Now
days,
I'm like, I'll retire.
Yeah, whatever. One of these days. Maybe you get some more sleep. That would be nice, too, wouldn't it?
I love to sleep.
Do
I
you?
Really do. I'm a napper. I can't sleep very well at night, but I sleep with a snorer.
See, all right, I was just going to ask, and if it's not too... Do you guys sleep in the same bed, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay, and you've been married a while, just like
20
me.
Years.
All right. We also sleep in the same bed. That's not the best way to sleep.
I will tell you, Brian, after I had my knee replaced, a while went by where I said, do you mind sleeping on the couch? Because
yeah.
I just don't want you to kick it.
When you say a while...
It was. Months, I don't remember how long it
several
was.
Several months.
Year and a half.
It was a while.
Still
Mr.
happening.
Giggles. No, but I now put like a... Steve actually said something because he was horrified. What do you mean you're making him sleep on the couch? I didn't want him to kick my knee.
Of
and
course.
Then Steve says, we'll sleep on the other side. I said, I can't. We have our set sides.
Yo,
even though Bill left every night, they just kind of...
No, they don't.
It's Willie and Nilly.
He's... No, that's...
Those are their
on.
Nicknames. They
that,
do.
No, I don't.
Steve, you remember that?
I'm not saying you're lying. I just... That sounds so...
We think it's weird.
It's very weird.
You got to pick a side and stay
right,
with it.
Exactly.
So now I put a pillow buffer between us. There's a little throw pillow that I put under the cover just so if he rolls over, he will not knee my knee.
Oh. See, even in hotels, we stay on our assigned sides.
Me too.
No matter where we are, that's the side. Well, new studies have come out because people are always studying sleep studies. You know, they're doing sleep studies. Oh, you need this much sleep. You got to have this much sleep.
Which, well, nobody gets.
No. Well, now they're saying that a sleep divorce may be the key to a better night's sleep. So you and Jimmy Mack, my wife and I, maybe even Steve Bertrand, willy nilly, everybody needs to perhaps think about sleeping in a separate bed. It can be in the same room, like the old I Love Lucy or Dick Van Dyke twin beds. In a room. But according to this, they're saying 1 in 5 people felt that their partner is the most significant factor interrupting their sleep on a nightly basis.
I gotta say, I wouldn't be opposed to that.
No, because we had, there was a short period where Debbie had to get up. She had to get up really early. She was going in at crazy hours. And with Molly gone, Molly's room is open, so Debbie would go sleep in there.
So she wouldn't disturb you, because we women think about you.
Well, no, and also she was like, well, our mattress is too hard, blah, blah. So for a while, we were both sleep. It was weird. We were in separate rooms, which I didn't like, and she didn't like it either. But I will say, I slept pretty well. Now she's back. Now we're back, and it's like, oh, boy. She says I snore. I can't hear it. She snores like crazy.
I know I snore, too.
I probably do. I know I used to snore a lot more. When I was, you know, ginormous, because I couldn't breathe.
But, yeah.
I think I snore less.
But see, now the whole difference here is two beds in the same room. Maybe you should have one queen or king size bed and then one twin. Because then, you know, if you...
So the bad person gets sent to the kid's bed?
Well, no, but then if you want to, you know, get busy, then you have a nice big bed. It's hard to do it in a twin bed.
Well, I don't know.
Unless you're a twin.
It's a whole morality thing.
I am not going to say who this is, but I know someone who has a two-bedroom apartment, and they have a king-size bed in the one room.
For business?
It's their bedroom, and it's a married couple, and then there's a twin bed in the guest room, and so they cuddle and do all their business, whatever they want to do, but then when it's ready to go to bed, when it's
sleepy time,
the girl goes in the guest room and goes to bed.
Wow.
And it's been like this ever for years.
How long have they been married?
A couple years.
Really? Well, according to this, that may be the way to go. Because people are saying 37% of the people in the study say body heat is the problem. They need to sleep alone. Third say they battle sleeplessness while battling for the covers. I don't have that. 1 in 5 men complain that they find themselves waking up to their partner's hair in their face.
That has never been an issue.
That is a very weak excuse. Oh, her hair gets on me.
That's stupid.
So they're saying the sleep divorce may be the answer. Couples are staying together but sleeping in different beds to minimize sleep disturbances. 1 in 12 couples surveyed are already giving the practice a shot. 30% have discussed the idea. So
I'm not opposed to it, but I do like having, you know, sleeping with my husband. That's how it's supposed to be.
Well, is it? Because sleeping in one bed has been a thing. Before the 60s, many married couples slept in separate beds.
That's because they had sexual hang-ups.
Wow.
Well, come on, they did.
Okay.
Did your parents talk to you about sex? Because my mom didn't.
No, but they slept in the same bed.
Well, their parents, did they? Well, yeah.
No, I see, and it's funny. Now, but I only knew my grandparents'. You know, old grandparents. I don't know what they did with... I'm assuming they slept in the same bed at some point because I have my mom and my aunts. But when I was growing up, my grandparents had separate rooms.
They did?
Yes.
Okay, they were trendsetters then.
They were very trendy. Or they just... It was a war of attrition and neither one would leave and they just hated each other. I don't think that's the case. I think because my grandfather was a cop and he used to work weird shifts, you know?
Yeah.
So he would... He always slept in his own room, I guess.
But the temperature, I can understand, because when women go through the change, they are hot all the time.
Yeah.
And Jim should walk around with an Afghan all the time or a little grandma's shawl, because he seems to be cold all the time.
Really?
I like the AC, like, just really cold. Because I have to have a blanket over me or a comforter. I have to have something over me. I can't just...
Really? You don't like to just lay on the mattress?
No, because someone might come in and stab me.
Is that right?
Like a blanket would help.
I would think your house is so well protected from being in the neighborhood watch that nobody's coming in that place. There's not a chance that there's
like
going to be an intruder. Yeah, between the dog and the cameras and the swords over the walls and, you know, there's got to be some sort of lightsaber or Death Star apparatus. Nobody's getting in that place. It's all very strange.
I want to see what the listeners think about this. I'm not saying, I don't know if Jim's listening. I'm not saying it's a bad idea.
Right.
But here's the thing, though, too, Brian. I don't know how many hours of sleep you get tonight.
Not enough.
I mean, they say that you need 7 or 8. I go to bed like midnight-ish, and the dog gets me up at 6.
Yeah.
So 6 hours is not enough for me.
No, I'm getting like 6, 6.5 at the moment.
It's not enough.
No, you need more. So maybe moving that other person out might be it. Have you gotten a sleep divorce? Do you want to get a sleep divorce? Should we all be sleep divorced? We'll talk.
312-981-9811.
I give them all. Give them all the options, Wendy. I don't want people to be pigeonholed into one question. 312-981-7200.
Wendy Snyder here along with Brian Noonan, who's sitting in for Bill Left today. What is this phenomenon called?
It is a sleep divorce. So you, when it's time
it
to go to sleep,
like that.
That makes it seem a little more harsh than it probably is.
Sleep separation.
Yeah, it's a trial sleep separation. That's what we do. We're just giving ourselves more space. And I like the idea. You brought up somebody before who had, they still have all their marital relations.
Yeah.
They're still close.
And
they
cuddle,
have that intimacy. Yeah.
Watch a movie maybe together. But yeah, when it's time to sleep,
because
she goes in the guest
different.
Room.
Yeah. We have a queen size bed, which is not nearly big enough.
How do you have a queen size bed?
Because I like being close to my lady.
That's what we said too, and now we're like so irritated that we didn't get a king size bed.
Yes, because every time we're at a hotel and we're in a king size bed, we're like, oh, this is great. We don't even know each other is there.
Yeah.
It's perfect. So that's kind of a sleep divorce for us where we go away and we're in a huge bed like that. 312-981, what is it? 358, what's our number now?
312-981-7200.
How did I forget? I was just here the other day, I told
you. It's on our show schedule because I forget it every day if I don't see it literally written down.
That's probably better.
Kathy has called us, and she wants to talk about trial sleep separation. Is that what we're calling it?
Sure. That's the new label for it.
Hi. I had both of my knees replaced at the same time.
You poor thing.
And the best thing that came out of it was separate bedrooms.
So you're still in separate bedrooms even after you've healed, or you're still healing?
Yep. Nope. We're still in separate bedrooms.
How long have you been married, Kathy?
Before I had the surgery, I started thinking how hard it was going to be to sleep with him, afraid of him bumping into me.
It's happened.
So he came home one day, and I had bought him a TV and moved him into the other bedroom, and he wasn't too
wow.
He wasn't too happy
about it, but it was a necessity.
Well, you got him a TV.
Yeah, that's nice.
That eases him into it.
You didn't just go here, sleep on a cot in the garage. But no. How long have you been married, Kathy?
36 years.
Good, yeah, it's long enough to sleep in one bed. Yeah, it's time. Now, do you foresee yourself ever going back to the marital bed?
No.
See?
Does he?
Is it going to take a bigger TV?
Somebody else.
Wow.
See, this is trouble. When you sleep separately, trouble can start.
Yes, you start.
Be careful, Kathy.
Putting that gap in there.
Oh, no. If we're going to have relations, well, we usually go in his room so that he can deal with everything afterwards.
All right, Kath, it's getting too personal, but good luck and continued success in your marriage.
Is it wrong of me to want to know all the things he has to deal with afterwards?
I don't want to get into that.
I really don't either, but I kind of do, because how much has to... What's going on? All the things he has to deal with.
Well, maybe they're
wild. The harnesses, the swing.
Yeah,
the sheets.
That's between them. That
all
embarrasses
right.
me.
Okay.
I have a hang-up with hearing other people's issues.
Text from the 6-year-old. So many couples I know sleep separate because the husband snores so bad. My wife and I have a king-size bed and use separate comforters. That gets rid of that.
I got to get a king size bed. Is there room in your room? Because there's really no room in our room for a king size bed.
No, there's really not in our because we have an older house.
Yeah,
so the rooms are too. Yeah, the rooms are little.
Get a petite king size bed.
Is California king?
It's a queen.
I'm
queen
going
is
to
a
California. You want me to bring one?
That
home
just
for
means
you?
It's longer.
No. I read somewhere, because I was looking into getting one of those beds in a box. The California King is the same length. It's just it's not as wide as a king.
Oh, I'm thinking of an extra long twin.
You're right. That's longer. Okay. That's so for it's, tall boys like you and Bertrand.
That's right. It's narrower, but it's
a little narrower than a regular king. Okay. I don't know why they call it a California King.
Because as evidenced by our caller earlier, everybody's thinner in California. You know, these are not people who go to Disney are not buying these beds. They're big, you know, I need the hefty king. That's why I bought my recliner. What I bought was a comfort king. It was the biggest chair for the biggest men possible.
All right, Jill wants to talk about this too. We're not calling it
not a sleep divorce,
right? It's a what?
A trial sleep separation.
All right. Hi, Jill.
Hi. How are you two?
We are well, Jill.
Good.
First, go ahead. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a great thing because my husband and I love each other very much. We've been married 32 years, but we have a king-size bed, but he was snoring, had sleep apnea. I asked him for years to get a sleep study. He finally did. He got a sleep machine, and he is quiet as a mouse, but now I'm so dang restless, having been used to not being able to sleep. So I have switched to another room to sleep. Also, he has it freezing cold in there all the time, and I always am freezing. So it's okay. I really get a good night's sleep every night, and so does he when we travel. If we have to go to a motel, he understands that it's really for the best.
Although, do you get two separate rooms at a hotel? Because the king-size bed really can make a difference.
Yeah, oh, that's huge.
No. The hotel visits actually prove the fact that, yes, it is better to sleep separately.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, because now you're confronted with the restlessness and the noises.
Right.
And
can you guys sleep if it's too quiet? Because I need to have, like, the fan noise or...
Then you should sleep with my husband, because he has the fan noise on all the time. He needs that. Yeah.
Yeah, but see, I mean, think about it, though. How many years have you been married, Jill?
32.
See what I mean? You guys are together so long, and, you know, so many people just kind of deal with what their other
Just how it is.
I know, but, I mean...
That's why I started putting in earplugs. I sleep with earplugs every night.
You really do?
Yes, every night.
Yeah. I tried that, and it drove me nuts. I couldn't take that, but I'll tell you, it's better than being angry at your spouse for snoring or whatever. There's like underlying anger when you know you can't sleep because of them.
I get mad at Jimmy Mack for wearing his earbuds because I'm like, what if the house burns down? What if the puppy barks?
I can still hear my alarm clock. I can hear
you if, can?
Yeah. I'm not wearing noise canceling headphones. I've got the little foam, you know, little foam earplugs that you jam right up there. And it blocks out most of it. I can still hear...
Including your wife's talking.
Well, no, I can still hear a little bit of snoring, but it's
so
down.
So you don't have it that
it's
loud.
It's drastically reduced.
What do you listen to all night?
Nothing. It's just, they're just earplugs. They're not earbuds.
Earphones. He listens to earbuds, and you cannot be disconnected like that.
Oh, no, I just have these...
From life, connected to a music, but, you know, I don't want to hear the Grateful Dead blaring when the house is burning down.
No, you want...
All right, I got earplugs. All right.
Plugs.
Jill, thank you very much. I'm glad
You're
it's working
welcome.
For you.
Have a good day.
You
Bye.
Too.
Jim, can we talk to Jim?
Sure. Is it your Jim?
No.
Oh,
God,
okay.
No. Please don't call. No, this is listener Jim. Hey.
Hi.
What's your deal?
Well, I got hurt in 2007, and I had both my quads broke, and I had them repaired. And I've been sleeping in a recliner for the last 11 years in my own bedroom.
Oh.
And my wife sleeps in the other bedroom with the queen-size bed.
And how's that working out?
Well, fine for me. And I guess it's okay with her because she's not complaining and she's got the whole bed to herself. And she can sprawl out and everything. She likes to sleep in the fetal position. And when we did sleep together, it was always I'd wake up sweating because she'd be next to me.
Yeah, you don't want that. I've always hated the body heat aspect too.
Listen, I agree.
Then when she went through the change, it was even worse.
Yeah, I can relate to that. Same. Well, Jim, I'm glad
I put the ceiling fan on. It's just it's too cold. Give me a blanket. So I'd have the blanket and her butt up against me, and I'd be
there. Nice
Dutch oven.
Don't stop him now.
I want to stop him. I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, Wendy's uncomfortable. Somebody texted in. And
thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Appreciate
somebody
it.
Somebody texted in on the flip side. Got divorced. I'm trying to find. We got divorced after 44 years because we started sleeping separately. He apparently didn't like it and never said anything. And according to this study, the happiest couples in the survey proved to be the ones that slept together. The ones who never slept apart were twice as likely to rate their relationship as a 10 out of 10 compared to couples who said they always slept separately.
The whole, like Jim was saying, you know, her butt was up against him.
Yeah.
You know, when you're cuddling, that's one thing. But after cuddle time is over,
right.
I'm kind of like, I want to draw a line there because it's like I'm up playing Candy Crush on my phone and Jim's reading comic books.
That's your
like,
post-cuddle
if his,
activity?
If his pillow is off on my side or his elbow, I'm like, come on, I elbow him. It's like, we need to get a king-size bed. Bertrand, you have a king-size bed, don't you? Because you're
yeah,
a king.
I do.
Yeah, sure. Listen,
have a king-size bed.
He's got that kind of newsman money.
But see, that is all the difference, Brian, because when you're in a king size bed, there's room for the dog to be in there. A kid
no,
could be in there.
The dog,
see, there's
never.
But when someone rolls over, you don't feel it as much right. because there's, like, you know, space.
Our room, our bed, though, is tilted because our room isn't big enough for the king size bed. So it's
what?
Like we sleep at like a 30-degree angle.
Really? With like carabiners, the things
yeah,
that mountain climbers use?
I wake up and I see throw pillows rolling down the bed. And
why do I believe anything he or Bill Left says?
Because they say it so convincingly.
Yeah, but I'm stupid.
No, I just think
I'm gullible.
They're horrible liars.
Yeah,
that's,
right.
It's a character flaw on both of their parts. Let's be
all
honest.
Right. Well, I think you should sleep together and maybe, you know, and then I think about all these people whose husbands or wives travel for a living that are gone several times a week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
hard. When I was on the road all the time, it made coming back
much harder.
Because harder than to adjust to sleeping in a bed with somebody. Because for I'd be gone for a couple weeks, I'd be sleeping in a hotel
out.
By myself. You know, just all blah. And then I come home and it's like, oh, here, sleep on this half of the bed.
Don't come over my line.
Yeah, exactly.
Still to come on this very show, we're going to talk to a Disney expert, and we have Dane Neal who will be in with us after the 11 o'clock news. We're smoking. It's Wendy Snyder. Bill Leff is off today. Brian Noonan was kind enough to sit in his chair today, although you're standing.
I'm standing now because I want to see over. We have barbecue sauce and beer and all sorts of things in here, so I want to get a good look.
All of a sudden, Brian starts paying attention. I've been working with him all morning.
I'm sorry, what?
Dane Neal comes and visits us every other week, and you can listen to him on the road with Dane Neal Saturdays at 2 to 4, which I do listen to if there's no White Sox game going on.
Thank you for your dual allegiances. I appreciate it. It's always great to get an opportunity to do that. And actually, with the Sox, and I've had a chance to go on the road with our kind of family road trip things, so we have some recaps for that. And on the barbecue side, I spent most of this weekend with Dave Anderson, you know him as Famous Dave, up in the North Woods. So we'll have some stories from that as well. You guys were talking about the vacation side of things, everybody getting from here to someplace else. This is the weekend, Windy City Smokeout, where the barbecue world makes that pilgrimage here, right, to Chicago. And it's become one of those meccas for barbecue. And some of the biggest names in barbecue are going to be here this weekend. And we've got some great guys in studio as well. It's barbecue, beer, and country music. I'm not the hugest country music fan, so for me, like, the attraction is obviously on the food side.
Yeah, but that music goes well with it, doesn't it? I mean, even if you're not hungry and you smell something that's being barbecued, even if you're full, you still have room to eat something. I don't know what it is.
I'll have the smoker going in the yard, and neighbors are just like, hey, what are you cooking? What do you got there? That smells terrific.
None
What's
of your
going
beeswax.
On? Yeah, back off.
Well, they obviously have the recipe success. They've cracked the code because, you know, 40,000 plus people can't be wrong this weekend.
Know.
And they come for people from around the country, but also we have some of the best barbecue people in the country right here and beer people in the country right here as well. In studio, we have Jared Rubin from Moody Tongue. He is the founder, brewmaster. This is absolutely And Wendy, you know we talk a little bit about this stuff over the years. This is my absolute favorite craft beer, and he is my absolute favorite craft beer guy.
and not just because he's sitting next to you.
No.
And has about 17 beers in front of him.
Well, you know, it doesn't hurt. You know, just the ambiance, they say, the room, right, kind of sets the mood. But he does it with a perspective, the culinary side of things, that is different than any other place out there. And he has been part of Windy City Smokeout since the beginning. And to his left, Charlie McKenna, Lily's Q, one of our favorite places here in the country. The sauces are just killing it. all over the place as well, and Charlie McKenna. And so he's the founder of that great institution. And both of these guys, leaders in their field, but started as chefs right on the culinary side, doing it as a high level, as a fine dining chef. I think he's all over the country, over at True even, right? Yeah. And then wins a world champion at Championship of Memphis in May in barbecue. So he's
how do you
got
make
all that
the switch
cred.
To that? I mean, it's such a difference.
Yeah, so
I mean, both of you. I want both of your answers. Bachelor number two.
Well, I think what happens is you kind of, you know, as you get older, you tend to do more things that you love and more passionate about. Where in the beginning it was sort of like, oh, that was super cool. You know, fine dining is all the big rage and the little tiny plates and the tweezers and whatnot.
Yeah. And then
then you start to like really appreciate old cooking methods or brewing methods, and then you really start to get into that, and that's where kind of how we made the transformation, and I was doing it with my dad as well,
that's
kind of
cool.
Created a little atmosphere for, you know, our family life.
So. Well, barbecue is a big family thing. It started out small town regional, and now it's just exploded everywhere, and especially here in Chicago. What do you think led to this huge barbecue renaissance?
Well, I think one of the things is barbecue. You know, the way we know it from Southern and Texas and Kansas City and Memphis, it's an American food, right? And we love to support our local people and we love to support our local brewers. So I think, you know, it started to take off and people really can associate it with it. Everyone that's in America thinks of barbecue somehow.
Right.
Either they're on their backyard with their family, on their, you know, patio that's downtown Chicago or New York, and they're 20 floors up. They're still trying to grill burgers, and everyone considers that barbecue. So I think everyone has a story or relates to cooking outside with wood, fire, charcoal, gas. And I think that's what brings the whole people in.
No, I think it's got to be something in there, because there is no other, I don't think, kind of medium of cooking that really has that fan base and attraction where the people that are doing it right are stars, you know, and may go back right to caveman days. We've all got the kind of this primordial kind of connection with it. But of course, we all do it too. It's the one, you know, we're not out in the backyard, you know, doing, you know, French laundry cooking or, you know, any kind of stuff.
Right.
Like, we're not shaving truffle. Well, some of us are. I guess you guys probably are. But for the most part, it's the approachable kind of cooking that you can do in your backyard and all the way at that highest level too.
All right. And what year did the Windy City Smokeout begin?
2013.
Yes.
My God, and it's just exploded. Has it changed locations? How many more people come now than that first year?
Well, it's definitely changed locations, but for me as a brewer, it's fun to see more breweries there, and I'm sure for Charlie it's great to see more pitmasters there. And for the guests, now they have more options to have great food, great beer, and it's a blast. I can't wait for this weekend.
When you're trying to pair a beer with barbecue, it's got to be different than pairing it with other kinds of food. So what are you looking at Moody Tongue when you're like, all right, these are the ones that are going to pair best with the stuff that's being served at the Windy City Smokeout?
Well, the first thing I'll say when you're pairing beer and barbecue is don't try too hard. It's going to work, okay? So if you have your beer open and the meat's on the smoker, you've already won.
Perfect.
At Moody Tongue, we've got a smoked applewood gold that pairs really well with pulled pork, and the Bub City Gold I think is also exceptional with Chef Doug and Chef Christian's food, especially that pastrami sandwich, which is on the menu this weekend. I can't wait for it.
All right, I have to ask a smoke question, because there are times that I have had ribs that I don't like them because they're too smoky flavored for me. But when you smoke something, that doesn't necessarily mean it tastes smoky. It's just you're infusing flavor in there, correct?
So,
or are they all smoky flavored?
Well, a lot of different pitmasters use different woods, and different woods have different smoke attributes to the meat itself.
Some smokier than others?
Yeah, some smokier than others. So hickory, mesquite, post oak from Texas, you're going to get a little bit more smoke. Women have a softer palate, so they tend to like a little bit more.
Thank you for my soft palate comment.
We noticed.
I need to work out.
They like more fruit woods, right?
Maybe go to Disney.
That is true, though. Women, they're not going to experience or sense the flavors as strongly.
The more
correct?
Smoke you put on something, the more bitter it starts to taste.
Okay.
So, like, when the way I do, and I sort of took from my fine dining ways, is I use smoke as a flavoring agent, like salt, pepper, rub. I want you to taste the meat, the rub, and the smoke. Not just overpower you with smoke.
You're making yourself drool, aren't you?
Yeah,
when you're
I'm getting hungry drooling. Right now.
Certain meats go better with certain woods, right? Like a pork goes better with a cherry or an apple or something like that. And then you go into beef, and that's where you say hickory and mesquite, the heavier smoke for a heavier meat.
So pork is a naturally sweeter meat, right? Yeah. Back in the day, they put the apple in the pig's mouth. That's because apples go well with pork. So apple wood or peach wood or cherry wood, any of those ones. Then with beef, it's a heavier, heartier meat. It can take a little bit heavier smoke. So then you would use post oak like they do in Texas, or Mesquite, hickory, any of those.
It's sometimes too, if you don't like the mesquite has got its own like real kind of heavy flavor, and if you don't like that, sometimes too much of that is too much for me for Moody Tongue too. And it's great for everything. It's even great with 11 layer, you know, German chocolate cake and all and oysters and all those kind of things that he has at the place in Pilsen. But you know, you got the sliced nectarine IPA. You've got a lot of those.
I love those nectarines.
Really, the bright flavors.
Nectarine IPA.
Yes, and then you'll absolutely love this beer, and it's perfect for brisket. I'm listening over here to Charlie, and he's talking about all these fruit woods, and that's where we get a lot of inspiration when it comes with pairing. So if he's using cherry wood, then we'll use beer that has to do with cherries. Same thing with apples. And you mentioned your liking of nectarine. I love stone fruit too, and I think this beer is perfect for brisket, and that's what I'm looking forward to eating with sliced nectarine IPA this weekend.
Jared, do you know what a pluot is?
It was the first ingredient that I've ever used to make a homebrew.
Okay.
It's a hybrid between a plum and apricot, and I was eating it this morning.
I bought what I thought was plums at Mariano's, and it said pluot, and I'm like, they mislabeled that. I had no idea. I love apricots. I love plums. It is a combo of the two. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
It's delicious. The best of both worlds.
It is.
You basically won the golden ticket when you were getting your fruit at Mariano's.
A pluot. Who knew? They could have come up with a better name, though. I don't like the pluots.
What would you do?
Apriplum.
Apriplum.
I don't know.
That's not terrible either,
Apriplum.
Though.
Apriplum. Yeah. No, a pluot is fun.
All right, farmers out there, apriplum. Let's start growing.
All right, we have to take a break, and then we're going to talk about barbecue. I probably shouldn't admit this on the air because I was probably back in high school.
Uh-oh.
We would go in a garage, and maybe, you know, it was winter, and maybe we had some alcoholic beverages, and someone would light their barbecue to keep it warm, and there was no meat or food on it. But anytime you even smell a barbecue, don't you get hungry?
Yes. And talking about it, my mouth is
completely
watering. We should tell everybody that the Windy City Smokeout is happening Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The box office is at Grand Avenue, the event location 560 West Grand Avenue. WindyCitySmokeout.com is the website.
And we'll take a quick break and continue. Dane Neal is here, and we're talking barbecue. Brian Noonan in for Bill Leff. I'm Wendy Snyder. It's 720 WGN. All right, Bill Leff is off today. He'll be back on Friday. Brian Noonan is sitting in his seat today. I'm Wendy Snyder. Dane Neal visits with us, and we're talking about the Windy City Smokeout. And if I may just say, reintroduce our guests so I can...
Yes.
Oh, sorry. There you go, Dane.
On the beer side, because think about this. So you got all that music, the country music. Then you've got great beer. You've got amazing barbecue. We've got Jared Rubin from Moody Tongue Brewery over there in Pilsen.
Hello, hello.
Yes,
and then Charlie McKenna, Lily's Q. He has the sauces, and all, you know, world champion barbecue, and all those great restaurants as well. Lily's Q and Charlie McKenna is here as well.
I want to thank Jared for the, what is this called? Sliced
Nectarine IPA.
Oh, yeah. My God.
It's really good.
But I have to tell you this. I'm a lightweight when it comes to beer. I like, you know, Estrella Jalisco. I like a Pilsner, Miller Lite. I like really light-tasting beers. This is not that. IPAs are never that. But this hint of nectarine in it, the aftertaste it gives you, rolls it into this beautiful party in your mouth.
I love it.
I mean, that's all I can say.
Hello.
You can have a
no, it's true, because usually IPAs are a little hoppy, but sure. the nectarine here cuts that hoppiness at the end. It's really very nice.
Thank you very much.
Delicious.
And it would go great with a nice, as you said, like a pulled pork sandwich, a slab of ribs, anything at Windy City Smokeout.
Oysters.
Oysters, sure.
Right? It would go great with anything. You think about this, and we talked a little bit about how it has grown. They're only in, is this like the fifth year? You know, I mean, this is something that has happened. I think it shows, you know, Chicagoland, our area's kind of appetite for barbecue and appreciation for it. Because you had an event. We've had, you know, Rib Fest, and you've got ribs every, you know, Naperville. Yeah. You've got some things. But this has become kind of, you throw the bat signal up and you have the best in barbecue coming here. And so to go from those early conference calls, and I did interviews with RJ and Jared Melman early on when they were just thinking of Doug Saltis, when they were just kind of thinking it, big hats off to Bub City, and now it is absolutely huge. And guys, if you could talk to, you know, some of the people that are here, it is an absolute all-star game when it comes to barbecue. So you've got, you know, hometown Sam Jones, you've got Louis Mueller, you've got Myron Mixon is here, Peg Leg, Smoke, Barry from Smoke, obviously that's one of our favorite places here. Fox Brothers out of Atlanta, Martin's Barbecue. Remember when you went to Nashville, I said you've got to get yourself over there.
Well,
he's
really
coming
good.
He's coming to you this weekend.
Perfect. That's pretty great.
Salt Lick, Ubon's. I mean, these are some of the greats, right, Charlie?
17th Street with The legend, Mike Mills.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike Mills.
The godfather of barbecue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great thing is, like, one thing about barbecue is everyone kind of helps each other out and pats each other on the back. It's a healthy competition, right? We want to taste each other's food and see what everyone's doing. But literally, Doug and the team at Bub City have done an unbelievable job of getting the best of the best with regards to barbecue and beer to come here from other states and showcase what they do in different regions to the Chicago market. So it's really impressive, the teams and the barbecue people that are cooking this weekend.
So what are you guys at Lilliecued offering during Windy City Smokehouse?
So we're actually offering a item called Walking in Memphis. So we take our pimento cheese kettle chips that we have for our product line. We cut the bag open, coleslaw, pulled pork, and our smoky sauce inside the bag.
Ooh,
and then you
nice.
Just kind of walk around and eat it.
So delicious.
And then we're also offering our baby back ribs that we offer at the restaurant in Bucktown.
Am I in trouble for parboiling?
Yes.
I want to hear the real chef say that.
I saw Charlie shudder a little bit.
Tell her yes, Charlie. Be honest.
Do you know how to make chicken stock?
Yeah, but
you put the meat
consuming.
In the water and you boil it. And then all the flavor comes out of the meat into the water. So if you're boiling ribs, the flavor is going into the water. It is making them more tender.
Yeah.
But you just took all the flavor out,
so
sort of like
stock. How do you make them more tender? Do you just leave them on the grill at low heat longer?
Low and slow.
Time for
low
that.
And slow. 225 to 275. You can do a wrap in the middle of the cook to kind of help speed up the process and keep kind of steam it a little bit where it breaks down the fibers to kind of tenderize it up.
How long will that take me?
Depending on what size ribs you are, if they're St. Louis or they're baby backs, anywhere between 3 and 6 hours.
I don't have
But here, yeah, you
hours.
Do, because here's the thing, Wendy.
Or you can just come to Lily's Cue and buy.
Yeah, I'll just do that.
Go to Lily's
You watch the smoke, you open up a couple moody tongues, you're out on the patio, you're low and slow, suddenly your Saturday, Sunday afternoon turns into a little party.
That was my last Saturday and Sunday afternoon.
Of course, because smoking meat is it's a labor of love.
Correct.
But it's also a great time to socialize. Like you guys, when you compete, when you're at these big things like Windy City Smokeout, you talk to other teams.
Most barbecue guys are drinkers first, and then they find out that they can barbecue for a long time and drink at the same time. It's a win-win for us.
That's why Charlie and I are such good friends.
My mother-in-law is from Corinth, Mississippi, and the first time we went down there, I saw people putting coleslaw on pulled pork, and I had never heard of that before. I knew it was next to it, and I looked at him like, what are you doing? Once you try that, there's never any going back.
No going back. At Lily's, we call it Southern style, so
Love
you just
it.
Add the slaw to the sandwich.
So good.
And if you don't eat it that way, we start to think that you don't know what you're doing, right? We see the newbies when they're like, do you want it Southern style? No, we'll have it as is. All right, newbie.
Well, here's the thing that is really great, too. You've got this kind of cavalcade of stars on the barbecue side. Charlie mentioned the walking taco. Then you've also got, it isn't just all ribs. You'll have different places doing different things. So you'll have brisket sandwiches. You'll have the pulled pork. You'll have, I think Myron, I'm sure, is doing like the whole hog and all that kind of stuff. So you'll be able to kind of take that buffet of the taste buds around the whole place.
One thing, Dane, and you can address this. Windy City Smokeout, this is something that I found surprising. Cashless. So don't bring any money. You got to load your wristband prior to going, and then what, the vendor, you guys just scan somebody's wristband? Is that how it works?
It's one of those new things that they're doing. It's out there. I think people appreciate it. We'll see how it goes. This event has been kind of a leader, and we've talked with Doug about it before, in all these kind of innovative ways to make the process, the experience a little bit smoother on the consumer side. There are great VIP options. The cost-wise, too, you've got all that music that happens. We're just talking about the food and the beer. In the background, some of the biggest names in country music are playing as well, and it's not that expensive. You get in there, and you have that whole day and all those things. But, yeah, I think that's one of the things they're doing is the whole wristband thing.
It's WindyCitySmokeout.com. I was looking at this a couple of days ago. Tons of entertainment, tons of chefs. You can get your tickets there. You mentioned all this meat with the brisket and the pork. And is there any kind of seafood? Crawfish, maybe?
I think there's a crawfish boil going on at some points, and they may be selling. I think what Let Us Entertain You in Bub City does effectively, right? They're great service restaurants. They know how to do great service. So they actually built that into the festival, which makes the festival that much better. And they have, like, I know Bud Long's Fried Chicken is there.
Oh, somebody's got smoked salmon.
They've got crab fries, too, which are absolutely
crab
delicious.
Fries.
Yeah, they put crab on these French fries with a little bit of like spice mayonnaise. It's outstanding.
I gotta get out.
There is a ton of the barbecue chicken too. You mentioned Jared Leonard with Bud Long. That is, you know, he's, you know, from here, but of course he's expanded to a bunch of different places out in Denver and everything. That is one of the, and Nashville Hot Chicken. That's what he does, and it's amazing.
Boy, that's hot. Once you go that hot, you're never going back.
So you need a couple of beers.
Once you go hot, never,
I think they have a tepid sauce. I think.
Yeah, I went hot. I didn't even go atomic. I just went hot, and that was hot. Wow. Different kinds of barbecue sauce. I like sweet, but I also like vinegar. There are various different types of sauce, right?
Yeah, so Lily's Q obviously has a product line that we sell in grocery stores and out of the restaurant. We have 6 different sauces from the different regions because we wanted Chicago to experience the regions that these guys are coming from when we're here all the time. So 2 Memphis-style sauces, sweet with a little smoke. Western North Carolina, which is tomato vinegar. Eastern North Carolina, which is straight vinegar and spice. South Carolina mustard and vinegar. Mm-hmm. And then a mayo and vinegar from Northern Alabama.
What? Who uses that?
It's in Alabama. Down there, they smoke whole chickens, and then they just dunk it in a vat of this mayo and vinegar sauce and send it to the table.
And I got to tell you, it's just as Jared was saying, you know, coming at something different like beer from the culinary side. On the sauce, you think, well, that's food. But a lot of times, people get stuck on Sweet Baby Ray's and all that kind of stuff. You've got to try Lily's Q's sauces. They're worth every penny, and they're amazing. It's got a lot
that
of
mustard sauce. That mustard sauce is the truth. That's awesome. Good
it's
stuff.
It's the truth.
It's the truth.
You are a man in your meat.
I used to travel, and that was where I would search out barbecue places all over the country. And my brother would competed, and I smoked stuff in the backyard.
Wow.
And I love it. I love it.
Do I need a smoker? Would that help with the rib time?
Of course. Well, no, it'll make
not with the
legit.
Time, but it will make it a little bit easier. You'll put them in and almost forget it on certain smokers.
Can you get small ones? Do I have to get this giant one that takes up the whole backyard?
I have one of those little, I just have a Smoky Mountain Weber Tower now. I used to have a big offset one. Now I have just a little tower.
We grill year-round, but we're gas grill, so again, you'll shame me.
You just need to put your smoker next to your new kegerator, and then you'll be set up.
That's right. It's a quality of life issue, Wendy. Start living.
A kegerator. Yes. It's always cold.
Get the kegs out there. Get the smoker going.
All right, party at my house this weekend.
Sounds good.
Actually, we can't go to
a
party
we'll be at
my
Windy City Smoke.
Yes,
out this
exactly.
weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at 560 West Grand Avenue. If you want to see the list, 20 pitmasters, including Lily's Q, 20 world-class pitmasters. We got great breweries like Moody Tongue. There's going to be all kinds of stuff there. And the top tier of country music. It's all happening 3 days. You can go to WindyCitySmokeout.com, get all the information, get your wristband, load it up with lots of money, spend it on beer, spend it on barbecue, buy yourself a jazzy shirt as well.
Nice. Yeah. Is that shirt available?
It absolutely
it's a pig
is.
With
cool
an acoustic guitar on its back.
It has been in the past. They have a great logo right with the pig with a guitar on the back I know they'll definitely have shirts that are for sale. I'm pretty sure this one will
wait
be around because
this festival is going to have merch to sell. That's unusual. That's another thing that sets Windy City Smoke out apart. They got merch to sell.
Jared and Charlie, thank you so much. Dane, are you on this weekend?
I will be on Monday. I'm on Monday.
Okay.
He's going to be at the smokeout.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Smoking.
Please try the Moody Tongue Slice Nectarine IPA if you like nectarines. That is my absolute favorite fruit. No fuzz like a peach.
Yeah, I
got to
try this
really
applewood gold, the smoked applewood gold. I got to try too.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank
happy
you.
Happy barbecuing.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Parboil and gas grill.
Do not
I am
parboil.
A pariah
you
to
can,
these people.
You can cook them on the gas grill. Just don't boil them. Don't boil them.
Just making rib soup.
Yeah, that's ugh.
I'll serve it.
Okay.
All right. Bill Leff is off. He'll return on Friday. Brian Noonan's in his chair, and I'm Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. All right. We are going to be talking to a Disney expert. Everyone loves Disney.
Except you.
I don't. I want to fall in love with it.
You can. You will. I'm sure our guest will help you fall in love with it. And next week, as you're basking in the glow of Mickey and Minnie and all the fat people, according to our earlier caller, which I disagree with, you'll fall in love with it.
I want to.
Under the California sunshine.
Yeah, I just have never been to Disneyland. I know Disney World is all the rage, and I hope we can talk about both.
When you wish upon a star, make no difference who you are.
This is Jiminy Cricket, right?
Yes, this is Jiminy Cricket from Pinocchio.
All right, it's kind of sucking me in a little bit when I think about
it. How can it not?
Yeah.
It's the happiest place on earth.
It is the happiest place on earth. It's Disney on lice, as we call it, as my son had lice when we arrived in Disney. I need to fall in love with Walt Disney World and Walt Disneyland, or they don't call it Walt Disneyland.
No, just Disneyland.
We do have a Walt Disney expert who has written for the Daily Herald, the Chicago Tribune, who's been on WGN TV, WGN Radio. His name is Bruce Pecco, and he's with us today. Hi, Bruce.
Hi,
how
Bruce.
Are you?
Hi, very nice being here with you.
All right. Yeah. You Bruce walked in with the plastic Disney bag that I am so used to my kids just clutching as they're walking around Disney World. We've been several years for Star Wars weekends. Once they stopped doing Star Wars weekends, we didn't go. Thank God. I mean, I get Disneyed out. You evidently don't.
No, I don't.
How many times have you been to Disney World?
I've been to Walt Disney World 63 times now. I've spent more than a year and a half of my life there.
How is it any different each trip? Come on.
It's always, if you were there the first year the park opened and you saw what it was like then and what it's like now.
What year did it open?
In October 1971.
Okay.
That's about the time I went. When was Epcot built?
In 82. It opened in 82, oh, October okay. of 82.
Yeah, I was there. The first time we were there was before any of that. It was before Epcot, before Pirates of the Caribbean, before Space Mountain.
Yes, Pirates of the Caribbean opened in 73.
We were there probably 72.
Yeah, that's about when I went the first time.
And I guess it's overwhelming. You know, it's weird. Again, it was the summer my dad died, so I don't. A lot of times, you as a person, your brain kind of shuts things down. So maybe, like, I'm thinking, oh, I didn't have fun, but I'm sure I did.
Oh, how could you not?
Well, it's windy. There's a good chance. There's probably a good chance.
Shut up, Brian.
There's probably a lot of chance.
But all right, let me ask you this, because Bruce Pecco is here. He's the expert. Brian, you like Disney a lot.
I do.
You're
like
not
Disney.
Like a fanboy.
When I'm not there, I don't think about it. But the minute I walk through the gates and I'm standing at the head of Main Street USA and you look down and there's the castle in the distance and you see the some of the characters, there's something about, I don't think about Mickey Mouse ever. But the minute I see Mickey Mouse, I'm like a kid. I'm like, oh, my God, it's Mickey Mouse. There's just something about, for me, being in that place for a couple hours, I can go back to being a kid and I can go back to, you know, an innocent time, even though I'm battling the lines and I'm constantly grousing about the prices. And there's still something about it that is really cool.
Bruce, is that what it is? Does
that
it bring us back?
When you walk in, what he's saying, and you walk in on Main Street and you look down the street and you see that castle glistening at the end of the street. That's it.
What would you want to see glistening at the end of the street?
But see, that's the thing. Like, I don't read a book twice. Sometimes I'll watch a movie twice, but I've been to Disney. It's not something that I mean, I guess maybe years later I would go. Do you go every year?
Just about every year. Either it's once a year. I've gone sometimes five times a year, and sometimes I've skipped a year and not gone at all. It all depends on what's going on in my life. And
I can see
happening.
Where kids love it, but does it take a special adult to love it?
No, you can.
What's wrong with me, I guess, Bruce?
I don't know. And we want to change
there's
that.
There's a key component somewhere.
Because I've gone with family. I've gone with friends. I've gone alone. You can go and enjoy
it
in different ways. I've gone alone if there's something going on that I want to cover.
Oh, like a press event.
Et cetera. But you see it different ways.
I see it the same way every time.
Now, do you stay, and Bruce, you can, when we're talking Disney, you're not just talking about the Magic Kingdom. Disney World encompasses the entire, so do you go to all the different parks, like Animal Kingdom and all that stuff?
You do.
And Epcot? Streets of Disney. We don't stay on Disney property. Does that make a difference?
I always do. I always stay
I've
on
never
Disney
done
property.
That.
It's like boiling ribs. You're just doing it wrong, Wendy. You're just doing the whole thing wrong.
Because the reason why Disney World is Disney World is because when Disneyland was put up, Walt didn't like it that around the park and in the residential area, they built all these shops, smutty shops and things like that. When he built Walt Disney World, he wanted to insert you into a world away from everything.
That might be what I don't like.
Where it's all Disney. And so when you're staying on property in a Disney resort, it's themed and you're feeling like you're just living in another place.
This is going to get you so mad. Bruce Pecco is on the line. Just wait, because I feel almost guilty admitting this.
Okay.
You can follow him on Instagram, WDW Expert for Walt Disney World Expert. His name is Bruce Pecco, former Daily Herald news writer and Chicago Tribune as well. I go shopping at the Streets of Disney, and I love to shop and look more than buy.
Okay.
And I see like a cute top and everything, and I saw a purse, and I'm like, oh my God, this is so cute. And I'm like, the Disney logo's on it.
Well, yeah. Did you forget where you were shopping?
Yeah, but can't they have anything non-Disney there?
This is from Disney. It's from the Animal Kingdom.
All right, the Animal Kingdom. I just don't. I think Mickey's overrated.
Is there?
Bruce is going to punch me. No,
My love is not with Mickey Mouse. My love is with Walt Disney World. That means everything.
Is there a chance that it could get too big? I mean, right now, and we mentioned this before, it's kind of restrictive. It's not everybody can't get there, which, that's
really
the American
expensive way.
Things are, but there's so much, and it's overwhelming. If somebody who's going there or planning to go for the first time, do they need to talk to somebody like you? Do they need to limit their first visit so it's not like, oh, I have 6 hours at one park, and then I can go here for 28 minutes?
That's what makes it difficult.
The most important thing you can do, I tell people, is to plan ahead. If you plan ahead, you use the magic bands when you go now.
Yeah, those are kind of cool.
Use the app. If you plan ahead and you have some sort of structure of what you may be doing, but you're open to changing it, that being spontaneous at the last minute if you need to, you'll enjoy it way better because you have something to bank on. You know what you're going to be doing.
And here's the thing, and my sister is a big Disney fan. She tries to go every other year. And when we took the kids for the first time, my sister, being the expert, was like, okay, we have to do this park this day, this park the next day. There is no downtime. And when you have toddlers, sometimes that back-to-back every park is not good.
When you have toddlers, though, you have to build in time somewhere to let them
just hang out and swim.
But
people are spending so much money, they don't want to. But I'm serious.
No, you're right. It's like we dropped all this coin. There's no downtime. Let's go, kids.
Okay, so the nice thing about staying on property is if you bring kids and you go in the morning and you see things in the morning, when it gets really hot around noon, you go back to your resort, relax and swim, and you can go back in the evening. You're close by. You use their transportation, and you don't have to go all the way out of the park and come back again to get to your hotel. It's all right there.
All right. Bruce may have solved my problem.
Yeah, your RV park somewhere way in the middle of Florida that you're staying at to save a couple bucks. Maybe that's part of the problem.
You actually answered your own question by...
Yeah, but see, that would be perfect. But I'm not alone. Every time I go, I see crying kids and I see parents, spent so much money for this. But I really wish there was some way that every family could at least experience it once. I should start a GoFundMe page because there are families that will never be able to afford it, a family of five.
Well, that's why I think where you're going to Disneyland, it's still costly. But it's not nearly as much as going to Disney World.
And it's smaller and it's easier to navigate.
Yeah.
Because when you go to Disneyland, there's going to be your main walkway. You walk down the main walkway. To the right is Disneyland. To the left is California Adventure. And at the other end is Downtown Disney. So it's all in one spot. You can just walk.
Can you do it all in one day?
You can walk around the whole thing in one day, but you can't see everything in each park in one day. There's too much.
Well, the Magic Kingdom is like the Magic Kingdom. So, however much time you would spend there.
I'm spending one day. The kids and my husband can go back a second day, and I will stay at the pool and drink.
Well, you'll see.
If you spend one day and you go to Disneyland,
right,
you will want to go to California Adventure the next day in the other park, because there are things there that you will want to see.
So that's not all connected. What is the difference between the two?
It's like... Magic Kingdom and Walt Disney World and Hollywood Studios and Walt Disney World. Yeah. They're two different types of parks. Or Epcot. They're like two different types of parks.
I like some of the other parks better than I like. What's your favorite park? Magic Kingdom, obviously.
Yeah, Magic Kingdom.
Brian?
Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
And then
I like the animal one. I like
too. That's all really nice, but,
I just feel like I'm too old for the Magic Kingdom.
Well, see, and I should say, I haven't been to the other parks down in Florida because I've only been to the Magic Kingdom because there was nothing else there.
Oh,
and
then when
I went a couple years ago, I was there for a few hours. I do have to go back, but I also, I need to take out a second mortgage. I need to, we keep harping on the price, and that's a concern.
If you went there and you paid attention to how many older people are there alone, just them.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed at how many people don't have kids, either adults, younger adults, people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and older who go together because
I think it would be more fun.
It's fun. You enjoy it. You tap into your childhood.
And you don't have a kid screaming.
You don't have that then.
All right, we have to take a break real quick. Go ahead.
Just one quick question. What's the age, you think? How young is too young to drop down this kind of cash?
I would not want to bring somebody younger than 3 or 4 years old because they're not going to remember it, and you might as well spend the money when they will have memories of what they've seen.
Perfect.
Yeah, I can't remember. That makes sense. How old the kids were, but they were like 5 or 6, and that's why
remember.
My younger one is like, he loves Disney. We have a Disney expert, Walt Disney World expert, Bruce Pecco, in the studio with us, and we're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to come back, find out about the Toy Story Land that opened up. I want to find out a little bit about the Star Wars stuff that's going to open up at Disney World. You know, this is the stuff that bums me out about Disney. I'm sorry.
Want to hear the songs?
We're talking Walt Disney World with Bruce Pecco, formerly writing with the Daily Herald, the Chicago Tribune, and you can follow him on Instagram.
Instagram. That is that picture, please.
At WDW Expert. I have two boys. This is the weird thing. They've all seen these movies.
Yeah. You've never seen these movies?
No.
You haven't seen any of these Disney movies?
Who did you let parent your children when they were little?
I don't know. I guess they saw them, but they're boys. I'm like, they didn't want to watch the princess movies, but they've seen them all. Yeah. I was named after Peter Pan, so you know that movie. You'd think I should be a big Disney fan.
Our first dog was Baloo from The Jungle Book.
You should be a big Peter Pan fan.
Yes.
I am. I work with him every day, although he's on vacation today.
Yeah, between Peter Pan and the rest of the lost boys that are running around here, you're all set.
All right, so Toy Story Land opened up. Yes. We were there a couple of years ago, and it was all closed off, and they were working on it. Is it as phenomenal as we expected?
It's very immersive. You go in there, and you feel like you've been shrunken down to the size of a toy. You're in Andy's backyard. They put in trees that look like bushes. So when you're walking by them, instead of thinking you're looking up at trees, it's like you're smaller and you're looking at bushes. The plants look like blades of grass.
Oh my God, you feel like
you're walking around with grass. And so there's Tinker Toys, there's building blocks, there's all over everything. That's how it's all built.
And 2-hour lines. Didn't we just read recently when it opened? Yeah.
I was there on opening day. I went in there just to check it out because I was still there from the event. And that's because it's brand new.
Yeah.
It just opened. It's not going to stay like that all the time.
Do they have, now I know they do the Fast Pass, and the Fast Pass does work for a lot of the rides.
Yes.
On the new attractions, do they ever put the Fast Pass on those?
They are on those.
Oh, they are?
They're all on Fast Pass right now. So, yeah, Slinky Dog Dash is the roller coaster that supposedly Andy built. He got a roller coaster set. He put it together and decided to put Slinky Dog on the roller coaster set when he wasn't supposed to. So they built it so you're riding inside Slinky Dog on the roller coaster.
I do love Toy Story.
Yeah, okay. Then you would love this.
And then you shoot around the track, and it's the first time Disney's done a second launch where midway through the ride, it stops, and you pull back, and you get launched a second time, and go through these rings of light, and go shooting.
That sounds pretty cool.
The rest of the ride. So, yeah.
I don't like rides either. That's another part of my problem.
I'm not into roller coasters.
Splash Mountain's the only thing I'll do because my kids made me. So if I did Splash Mountain, could I do this?
I don't know. Have you been on the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train?
I don't know. Why am I looking at you, Brian?
I wasn't there with you. But I'm wondering why you even go then. What do you do?
Because my family likes it.
But there's a lot of things you can do that
don't involve roller coasters.
Just go see the Country Bear Jamboree all day.
Go into my favorite, Haunted Mansion.
I love the Haunted Mansion. I love Pirates.
Oh, Pirates, yes.
I love the Peter Pan ride.
Okay. Yes.
There. All right, I guess I'm kind of liking it. I don't know what that is.
And, do they have Mr. Toad anymore, Bruce?
No, I was the last person to ever ride Mr. Toad.
What?
That's a whole other story. That's a long story, but I was the last person to ride Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. So, but in Toy Story Land, go on Toy Story Mania, then. If you don't want to do the roller coaster, Toy Story Mania is great, where you shoot the targets.
I did that too. I guess I do have fun.
There's a new spinning ride, like a teacup.
Alien swirling saucers. That's like the teacups, but instead of being a disc with the three teacups that stay on the disc, there's aliens pulling your car, and they can move from one disc to another and pull you along, so you can end up starting in the front and get pulled to the next disc as the whole whole thing is going around, so it's pretty cool.
We do not have time to ask about Star Wars, but that's not open yet. That'll open next year. So we'll have you back. How's that?
Yeah, that's great.
All right. His name is Bruce Pecho, P-E-C-H-O. He's a Walt Disney World expert, and that's his Instagram handle, at WDWExpert. Thank you so much for coming up.
Thanks. It was nice to meet you.
I think I'm going to have fun now.
You're going to have a ball.
I think Bruce gave me the magic that I needed. Oh.